Praise God. Introduction like that, I better not stumble around, huh? Amen. It's good to serve God a long time. Everybody said amen. You know, I was raised in a generation coming up in the 60s and 70s, and a lot of things that they start, they dropped all along the way. But there's things that need just to be stuck to. And when good things are good things, stick to it. And Jesus is eternal good thing. Amen. So when we get there, we need to stick to what He says to do. And today I got a sermon I got together, and it's called The Seed and the Sower. And Jesus spoke this one day when He was at home, and we're going to read that in just a second. But a lot of things that Jesus said was not always in absolutes. It was in parables. He broke it down into parables so people could understand it, they would relate to it, and they could see what was going on. And this is one of those times. This is taken out of Matthew 13. And it says, now picture yourself this way, that you're getting up and Jesus is fixing to be on the water. He's going out to do something, and you're there, and you hear the commotion going on. You hear the waves, and everything is working, and you get up, and Jesus is fixing to make a change in your life. Amen? Everybody say, a change in my life. Well, this is what He did. It says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. A great multitudes were gathered together to Him, so that He got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower. This is a good word for us. It's a parable, but it's a command too. So I want you to really listen to what He's saying. He says, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside. Everybody say wayside. And the birds came and devoured it. Some fell on stony places. Everybody say stony places. Where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth in the earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up and choked them. But others, everybody say others. Others fell on good ground. Say good ground. And yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, that is a parable for us, because I'm convinced that God is going to do something and has been doing something in all of our lives in the last year, 2, 10 years. And He wants to do greater things in our lives. And I want you to listen to this part. Jesus is the kingdom of God. This was His ministry. And it says, Jesus compared the kingdom to a sower going out and spreading seed. Some falls on hard ground and is unable to take root. Some falls on shallow ground. Some seed falls on good ground. Now, I want you to understand this part, because this is very important that we get this part right here. We need to understand the sower is God. Everybody say, the sower is God. The seed is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Go ahead, you're doing right. And it's the Word. It's the Word. God is sowing the Word, the kingdom out there to everybody that will listen. It's a seed that will drop in your heart. It will drop there if you'll let it come there. The various types of soil represents us, you and me. See, it's important that we know who God is, that He is the one that's sowing the seed. It's important that we know what the seed is, what it will do when He throws the seed. But more important than that, we need to understand the dirt that it goes in. How many of you know that we're just dirt bags? We were created out of dirt. Not even really dirt, it was dust. That's just like... And I know the women going to say, well, we were made out of a rib. Well, I know, but it came from dirt. Just don't forget that. And it's going to go back to dirt no matter what it was. But nevertheless, if you got good seed, and it doesn't matter who throws the seed, who sows the seed, even though God did, if it does not go in good dirt, it will never come up. If it does come up, it'll do just like we were talking about. Some of it will be on stones. It will come up. Some of it will be in hard ground. It won't come up. It might look good for a while, but then it withers away. And I'm going to tell you what, in my Christian life, I've seen this thing take place over and over and over. Everywhere I go, that people will do that same thing. a word of God will go forth and people's hearts was not fouled up and they did not receive the word, and it didn't take long, they were out the door. They were gone. They slipped back into sin, probably even worse than they had before they even started with it. And that's a sad commentary to look around and to see all that happen. But today, Jesus is still spreading the seed in our lives. How many of you know that? Say something. Y'all talk to me. Y'all can talk to me. It does not bother me at all. Amen helps me. It will prod me on. But we are still receiving seed from God. I'm 70 years old. I've been a Christian for 40 years. And I'm going to tell you what. I'm waiting for a seed to come today that will fall in my heart that I will grow deeper with God. Amen? If we don't do that, if we get to that place where I got enough, my bins are full, you know, I've had all the planting I need. My little garden is just, it's full, thank you. I'm going to just eat my maters and my taters and I'm going to be all right. Well, in the spirit realm, you can't do that. Because whatever we take in, if we begin to give it out to other people, we're going to need to be replenished. And I have found the joy of giving, because when you give out, then God's going to give you more every time we do that. Amen? Most of the seed that is thrown about never takes root. It's on bad soil. And you might think about this. If God is the sower and the seed is the Word of God, why did He throw most of it on soil that nothing would grow on? Ever think about that? The biggest part of the story, most of the seed fell on places that it had no chance. But I want to tell you what's in the mind of the sower. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Every one of us was one day rocky soil or hard soil or something that did not penetrate. How many can identify with that? You know, God, the seed was put there and we didn't listen to it. We said, that's for somebody else. That's not for me. I don't want that. I don't have time to be dealing with this Christian stuff. I got my own life to do. I'm educated and I got to go after the big wheel, turn that big wheel, that big nut of success in this world. And we basically just turned away from that seed. Well, I want you to know God is pouring out seed today in the spiritual realm, in the Christians. How many of you got a recent seed from God? Let me see your hands. If you're not, you're dead. I mean, if you got a recent seed, then He's there. Well, I'm going to tell you what, that's the Christians. But He's still pouring out seed on a lost and dying world today that they will become saved. And that tells me and you that we need to go and help some of them to realize, yeah, you got the seed. God put the seed there. Let me help you get it in the ground. Because it's important when God gives you something that's important that you take that and you help it go down in the ground. Now, it's like talking to a box of rocks sometimes because people don't want to hear you. But some people really want to know. They need to be told by Christians, let me help you get that seed down in this deep crevice. If not, let me go home and get my plow, and we're going to come and we're going to plow that up so you can put your seed in there, because your seed is important. God is expecting you to grow, and if you don't, you're going to wither away. See, that's preaching. I don't know if y'all know that or not, but this is not really a story about the sower and the seed. It's about the soil. The soil, and the soil is in our heart. It's what we trust in. It's what we believe in. It's how we live, and it's how we expect to live. And this is one of the things that I want to bring up today. There's four different ways. The first one is a hardened heart. A heart that's hardened. A heart that does not listen to what God's saying. People go in churches, they hear songs, they turn their radio on, they look at bumper stickers, and the whole time God is waving, I want to get your attention. I want you into the kingdom of God. And people are hardened-hearted because they don't want to go there. And when they start that kind of stuff, then they get pushed away. Not by God, but by their own heart. Their own heart has failed them, basically. And they need to come to the realization to realize, if I'm going to live in this earth and I'm going to be productive, I better start doing something with my heart. Did you know one of the number one causes of death now in this day and age that we're living in, as much technology as we have, and thank God for it, is heart attacks. It's heart failure. And it's because we don't eat the right thing, we don't do the right thing, and things fail us. Some of it, I know, is hereditary, but we need to take care of ourselves and the things of God. But the most important thing about that is not so much your heart, it's your spirit man. And your spirit man is crying out, I need help. I need food. And God is saying, here it is. But then we'll stop and get our hearts hard. Listen to some of these things that I'm going to read out here. This is called a hardened heart. I think the scriptures are going to probably come up there in a minute, but they'll be there. Hebrews 3:7-9, it says, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart, as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. For 40 years, God brought these people around the edge of the desert, through the desert. And He provided everything that they needed. Manna. He had food. He had warmth in the day, in the nighttime, and coolness in the day. Everything that they needed, He had it there. And they still hardened their hearts. Unbelief crept into the camps. Doubt, fear, murmuring fell into the camp. And when all of those comes in, it begins to harden your heart. You'll back up and say, I'm not sure I want this God thing in my life. I'm happy with what I'm doing. In fact, I'm tired of manna. We've had manna boiled, fried, stewed. It don't matter. I'm tired of manna. I want something. I want some quail legs. They got proud and puffed all up about it. God said, you want quail legs? I'll get you some quail legs. The Bible says He sent so many of them there that they choked on them. The legs of them were sticking out their mouth because they hardened their hearts. God wants us to have soft, malleable hearts, something that when we hear the Word of God, it will mean something to us. You know, I've been noted before some of the meetings that I do everywhere. I cry a lot. I can't help it. I mean, I never cried in my life until I became a Christian. And when I did, God gave me a heart that will cry, a heart that will suffer, a heart that will see other people's needs and help them. And I'm not ashamed of that. Because I know that it's God's Spirit working inside of me. But it tears my heart out to see people that used to know God and used to serve God, and they've let stuff come in and harden their hearts. Now they're out doing their own thing. God's nowhere in the picture, and they've lost out with the things of God. Another one is Ephesians 4:18. It says, being darkened in their understanding. Darkened in their understanding. No wonder we have so much confusion and perverted things going on in this world, because people's understanding is darkened again, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. I was telling a story this morning. I was walking back from my shop yesterday, and I looked out on the road, and my neighbor driving a minivan, and she's got a teenage son, and she's driving down the road to turn, and he's hanging on the luggage rack, running along with his feet like that, and she's going probably 20 miles an hour. And that word ignorance immediately come to me. It's like, what is she thinking about? She's going to run over her own son. I mean, if his foot went under the wheel, it would jerk it out, break his legs. She'd run over him. She'd be crying and moaning and groaning. What happened? And I'd go over and I'd say, I think you was ignorant. You wonder, I mean, a teenager and a grown woman, and she's letting him do this. And that's just one thing. But you see a lot of things that go on about ignorance in this world. We need to come to that place and know that ignorance is not because you're stupid and you can't learn anything. It just means there's things that you don't know that you need to be trained in. Amen? That's one thing I'm trying to do today, is put you some seeds out there. I want to make you smart to some of these things, that you won't be ignorant to those things, that you will not come to that place and have a hard heart. It's not my job to do that. It's It's my privilege to help you today to get past that part. It says, because of the darkness and the hardness of their heart. Proverbs 23 says, how blessed is a man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. And I've seen it over and over. People that harden their hearts would fall into calamity, where it's a horrible place to get out of. And you talk to them, you pray with them, you try to do stuff, and it's like, there is no answer. I don't know what to do. I mean, there's a horrible feeling sometimes to get in a place where you really don't know what to do with people other than just tell them, you know what? Let's just start at the bottom and let's go back, and you need to get saved first. And then let's start working from there and see what will happen. Because you know as well as I do, when you plant bad seed in your life, everywhere you plant them, one day they're going to come up. Somebody say amen. Amen. Everywhere you plant a bad seed, one day you're going to reap a harvest of all that kind of stuff. But there is a transition spot to where if you get right with God and you start planting some good seed, they're going to come up. You will reap a harvest out of that. But that don't mean that that field over there died. You're going to still have to walk through that field that you planted those bad seeds for a while until the next crop is planted and they come up good. Do you understand that? Because sometimes you go through things and you wonder, why am I going through this? And it's like, well, for 10 years you planted bad seeds. Now you're reaping a harvest of that. Now the next thing you got to do is start planting some good seed that you'll get a good harvest. Amen? See, that's simple theology, I guess you can say, if we'll just get it in that way, and it'll help you with your problems when you're coming against some of those things. And listen to this one, 1 John 3:17, it says, "But whosoever has the world's good and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him?" See, we're living in a nation right now where people are needy. They need spiritual help. Some of them need money. Some of them need food. Some of them need clothes. They need to be involved in a group somewhere where people can help and speak into their lives and do stuff. And if we close those people off, it will start your heart to getting hard. I work here at the church, and there's a lot of times that people come in here. And I know that they got cycles of people. If you ever give somebody some money, it won't be but the next week, and here comes a whole new group. They found out we gave money. Well, we just had to stop giving money. We give you spiritual help. We will put you some food on your table. But we have to stop some things. But that doesn't mean that we're hard-hearted. It just means that you need to grow up and start taking care of some of your own things. But every now and then you get somebody that needs something. They really do need something, and we try the best we can to help them. But we're not the welfare company. We're the children of God. But we can teach you and give you some, teach you how to walk in faith, and then you go and you start giving it out. Amen? There are ways that you can do things like that. Mark 6:51, it says, "Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished. For they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened." You know, you'd think the disciples, they just saw Jesus take the loaves of bread and the fish, and he did a mighty miracle with it. He broke them. One became two. He started feeding them. When he got through, he had 12 baskets of them left. Wow, what a miracle. I mean, if you and I literally saw that happen today, it's like, whew, man, how did he do that? Well, it was a miracle. But you know what? It did not astonish the disciples, because here they are right now. They just saw that, and he says, because he asked them to do something else, their hearts became hardened. People that just watched a miracle had hard hearts about the next step in their life. You and I have to be pliable. We have to come to that place and thank God for the things that's happened in your life, and you've been overcomers, and God's done great things in your life. Those things are to be marked on the wall somewhere and say, you know what? That's my history. That's what my God has done in my life. And I'm excited about it, because he didn't bring me from way over there to here just to let me go. He's going to show me greater things. And he's still planting seeds in my life. And there's no way that I need to look back and get hard-hearted about some of the things that did not happen. I need to look forward to the new things that God's going to do in me. Amen? We got to come to that place. The next one is a distracted heart. A heart that gets distracted. When you got your focus and you're having a good time and You just know God is in you and you're in him and you're flowing and you're doing everything that you can to make things work. And all at once, this distraction comes in your life to stop you, to take your focus off of the things of God and put them on something else. We can't do that. I mean, we're living in a day and age right now. I forgot my phone, but I finally learned how to get an iPhone and get it turned on. And that's I'm on step one right now. And I think step two is going to be, it's going to be in the creek. Not me, the phone. But nevertheless, I watch people all the time. You know, I'm trying to drive my best. I got a great driving record. Haven't had a ticket in 60-something years in my life of driving. I do good. I don't speed. I don't run stop signs. You say, well, you got hot rod cars. I do, but I don't speed in them. Amen? I just fix them. But nevertheless, I'm coming to work one day, and I'm looking at this girl, and I'm not picking on girls. I want you to know that. So don't throw nothing at me. And I'm looking, and this girl is on her phone. And I look up, and she's already 3.5 feet into my lane of traffic. And I'm sitting over there saying, Lord, Maranatha, Jesus, come quickly. Because I'm fixing to have a head-on collision with this girl. And she don't even know I'm in this world. She don't even know she's in this world. You know why? Because she's distracted. Something else has got her attention. And then when she looks up, she just goes, pulls over, and starts right back again. I had to pull over and pray. The spirit of slap came on me. It's like if I could have called her, I think I would have gave her a piece of my mind. And that wouldn't take long to share that with her. But nevertheless, it really aggravated me. But you know what? The Bible says that there's a lot of people that were distracted. The Bible says that one day when kings went out to battle, David was supposed to go too. And David stays on his veranda, and he's up on the roof. I shared this morning about some of the things. I mean, if you go to Jerusalem, most of the houses that they have there have on the roof is like where their patio is. They hang their clothes out up there. They take their bath up there. They have parties up there. They do all kinds of things on the roof of their house. And here's David when he's supposed to be out to battle. God's got a plan for him. He's got a purpose for him to do, and David's not doing it. He stops. And he gets distracted. So he's looking around on all the roofs and saying, oh, look at the pretty flowers and all of the things that's here. Wow. Oh, Miss Oldstein's got her clothes hanging out there and goes over here. And Mr. Iverstein's got his, not Iverstein, he's not a Jew, is it? But anyway, a Jewish name. You figure it out. Got something out on there. But then he looks over there and he sees Bathsheba. He says, who is that? Because of a distraction, it cost David a lot in his life. Thank God for the grace that he had on David's life. I think that was a perfect example of God's grace on somebody in the Old Testament. Most of them were condemned to die to start with. In fact, if you read the story, he condemned himself when the prophet came to him and told him that. But nevertheless, it was a distraction to pull him away from the things of God. We can't do that, Christians. We got to come to that place. If we're going to get focused on God, we cannot let things come to distract us, to take us away from what was going on in that lifetime. Even Saul was there, and God had anointed him, and he did what he was doing, and he got to the point where he couldn't hear God anymore because of distractions. And the biggest distraction I saw that he ever did was one day he started calling the witch of Endor. Instead of calling on God, he went to the witch of Endor and started getting information. A distraction that would come your way that we don't need in our life. When Peter was walking on the water, he had his eyes totally on Jesus. I mean, what a time, you know. I've never done that, but it sure would be good just to walk and feel that water gush up between your toes. But the greatest thing would be to know that God is holding you up. And Peter was experiencing that, and he goes out there and he begins to look around at the waves and the wind blowing and the things that was happening. And you know the story, the more he looked away from God, the deeper he got when he should have stayed focused on God. A distraction that will come into your heart if you let it. Another one is a defeated heart. A defeated heart. A heart that just like, man, I want to serve God, and I've gone to the altar, I've called, I've had people encourage me, I've prayed, I've fasted, and I'm waiting for God to take me and to use me in a very special way. I know my purpose. I know that God's got a plan for me, and I want to fulfill that purpose and that plan and everything that I got that I'm going to do. I want to do that. And it seems like the very next day something will come to defeat you, to bring discouragement, to get you to the place where it's like, it doesn't matter. Somebody else can go do that. I don't want to do it anyway. And we get defeated by that situation. We can't do it. The Bible talks about this rich young man that came to Jesus one day and he says, I've kept all the commandments. I've done all the things that I know that's there. And he gave Jesus this big biblical story like he didn't know. But he did it anyway. And Jesus told him, he says, well, take everything that you have and go and give it to the poor. The rich young ruler, instead of saying, wow, what a challenge. What a bucket full of seeds. He's just trying to pour on me. He looked at it to where, I got this in hand and this I don't have. I'm going to go with this. And he went away. The Bible says he went away defeated. Not knowing that if he had gave that away, and you Christians that are mature, you know everything I'm fixing to say, the more you give away, the more God's going to give you. The Bible called him a rich man. If he would have did what God told him, he could have been on there he would have been an extra rich man. Instead of a multi, he would have been a multi. You see, we talk in terms that we know, or we've heard about. We don't know them. I know a multi-millionaire, but I'll tell you what, one day I told him about some of that, and he basically kind of went away empty-handed. It ain't over, because I'm going to meet him around on the backside one day, and I'm going to tell him that again. Amen? Not loving with all your heart, mind, strength. Two commandments that we got to fulfill as Christians. Jesus said, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. It's not one commandment, it's two. And when we quit loving our neighbor as ourself, then we quit loving. We've hardened our heart. We've come and the ground of our heart is beginning to get hard. It's getting brittle to where that seed cannot go back in there. And we all need to come to that place and say, God, never take that away from me. I want to continue to do what you tell me to do. If you say give, I'm going to give. If you say speak, I'm going to speak. If you say go, I'm going to go. I'll never forget the night that I really accepted Jesus Christ in my life. And I know y'all have heard this story again, but I think it's worth repeating. When I was blind for 9 months and tied in a hospital bed with Velcro on my legs and my arms, my eyes patched and sandbags on the side of my head, I couldn't move, I couldn't do nothing. But I knew that I was lost and I needed a Savior. And I began to do whatever I could. And a nurse had already come in and she says, don't you move again. She said, you're not supposed to get out of that bed for no reason. And she didn't even get out of that door and God began to deal with my heart. I can remember that shovel going in my heart, in my heart and begin to fallow me up. Break up that hardness. And I'll never forget taking my left hand and I got over here and I pulled 3 drips out of this arm. I pulled 3 out of here. I grabbed them sandbags on my arm. I threw them against the door. I got the Velcro off my legs, and I got out of that bed, and I got on my knees, and I said, Jesus, I know that you're the Savior, and I've shunned you. I've never came to know you, but I know I'm lost and undone, and God, I need you to be a Savior to me. I'm lost, and I need you to come into my life. And I'll never forget praying on that floor. I got out and I said, Jesus, I'll go. I promise you this time. I made promises before and I broke them all the time. But this one I really meant. And I said, Jesus, I'll go where you say go. I'll do what you say do. And I'll say what you say to say. Save me in Jesus' name. And I got off of that floor and it was like somebody had taken a ton of bricks off of my back. And for the first time I could breathe and it was like, wow. And I had been up for 48 hours without sleep during that whole time. And I went and got back in that bed. And by that time, y'all don't know this, but at the time I had long, curly hair all the way to my waist. And I had a beard this big. I looked like Grizzly Adams. And I'd already scared the nurses to death. They wouldn't come back down there. And when I went back and got in the bed, I saw the door. And the nurse peeked in there. And I said, it's okay. And she shut the door. Well, I didn't see nobody for 24 hours. And they were scared to come in there. They thought I was some kind of wild man that had gone crazy. But I wasn't. I was a nut, but I know what bolt I'm screwed to. Amen? It's a difference when God makes a difference. But you got to make a difference. If you don't, then you can have a defeated heart. And I've told God ever since then, I've reminded him of that prayer. I said, Lord, I'll still go where you want me to go. I'll still do what you want me to do. And I'll say what you want me to say. That's why I'm standing here today. Had I taken the other choice, God only knows where I'd have been. But I chose to do what was right. Amen? I chose to take good seed and begin to let them grow into my life. Now, I've chopped you up. Let me give you some good scriptures about a hopeful and a joyful heart. Amen? How many of you know that we're supposed to be glad? We're supposed to be happy about the things of God. Now, listen to these scriptures. This is Psalm 16. It says, therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My body too shall rest and confidently dwell in safety. Amen? I'm glad about that. I'm excited about life. I'm excited about the things of God. I'm excited what He's going to do in you, and I'm excited about what He's going to do in this church in the years coming ahead. It's exciting to be that way. I'm 70 years old, and I just started riding dirt bikes again after 30 years, and I'm having a hoot. But you know what? I even got a cell group with guys in it. I got a lawyer friend of mine that I'm trying to win to the Lord that I used to ride with 45 years ago. And right now, he's right at the palm of our hands because we've been putting the word in him and talking to him. Now, my first cell group, I hope yours goes a lot better than this one, because this one started out with him in it, and he's a talker. And it was a lot of GDs and SOBs in there. Y'all know what those stand for. And the guys that's in there, we just don't even act like we hear him. We just keep on going. We love him, and we're going to love him right into kingdom. And sooner or later, he's going to be saying, PG. Praise God. Praise God. I'm a son. I'm a son. Praise God. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Who's going to love them if we don't? If we're not glad, who wants to be around us? You know, if I ask you today, if you were convicted by the police because of being a Christian, do they have enough evidence to prove they can arrest you? Think about that. Psalms 90. Oh, satisfy us with your mercy and loving kindness in the morning, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Not a few days, but all of our days. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourself in Him. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. How many of you have a car that you came in today? How many of you have a house you're going to? How many can breathe? How many is not on a hospital gurney going out of here? See, we got a lot to rejoice about. We got a lot because God has given us life. And He's given it to us more abundantly. We got to be joyful about those things. Amen? I mean, who wants to hang around somebody that's always sad? Well, I'm just so glad I'm a Christian. God is so good to me. When I'm not sick and afflicted and hurting all over, He's just good to me. I just praise Him. I don't have a car. I walked up here, and maybe one day God's going to see fit to give me a car. But right now, I'm just satisfied to be a Christian. Well, get out of that mode. Say, I'm blessed of God. God gave me all these things. He gave them to me for a reason, and that's to use them and bless other people with them. Amen? I feel the spirit of evangelism coming here. 1 Chronicles 16, it says, let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nation, the Lord reigns. I don't care what you see about the market going up and going down, your investments losing. I don't care about all of that kind of stuff. It's going to go away one day anyway. The main thing is the Lord reigns. He is still in control. I want you to know the president is not in control. It's not his job to be in control. It's God's job to be in control. And he's up there because God allowed him to be there. I don't like that. And you don't like that, but I'm supposed to pray for him just like you're supposed to pray for him. Amen? Now, I might get some heat from that. I don't know. But I think the reason we don't see a change very much about our government, about our mayor, about our senators, is because we don't pray for them. I'm going to leave that right there. Nehemiah 8 says, for this is the holy... This day is holy to our Lord, and be not grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold. I'm 70 years old. I just went to the doctor. And she said, you know what? She said, you got the heart of a 20-year-old. She said, I've never seen anybody 70 years old with much energy as you got and how you maintain. And you're on no medication. She said, this just don't happen. This just don't happen. I said, trust me. My Bible says that I got strength because I'm glad. I'm happy. I rejoice in the Lord. And by the way, did you know that Jesus made this day? And if He made this day and He told me to rejoice in it, that's a command from Him. I need to rejoice in it. If I do that, a merry heart doth good like a medicine. I don't need a prescription to go to Sam's or wherever. I got my prescription from God. Now, if you take medicine, I'm not against you. I want you to know. This is the day which the Lord has brought about. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Christians, it's time for us to be excited about what we believe in. People are to see that in your life. You know, when I met Janice 52 years ago, and I don't have time to go there. I fell in love with her, what I'm trying to say. And when I did, I told everybody about her. I mean, everywhere I went, she was my heart. She was my everything. I told them, you know, I'm fixing to quit doing this and quit doing that. Why are you going to do that? I said, because I found somebody that loves me and I love them. And I was excited about those things. But I'm going to tell you what, I haven't seen a lot of Christians really excited about Jesus lately. We used to talk about it back in the 70s. We're fixing to celebrate that 40 years next week. And I can remember coming in this church and hearing everybody, they weren't talking about different things. They were talking about Jesus. They were waiting for the next word. They were praying. They had books and Bibles on every one of these chairs at that time, those old rusty chairs, you know. I call them ringback chairs because they were rusty across the back. And when you got home, you could look in the mirror and you had a rusty ring on your back. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of tears that went out there. It was a lot of people excited about the things of God. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm looking for a revival of that to come back to where you don't have to come in here and find a place in the back. You'll fight some. I've literally seen people push one another to get to sit. And have you seen that before? On the front row. Yeah. On the front row. Look at the front row right here. The only people on the front row is my pastor and his mom and dad and this couple right here. I'm glad y'all here today too, by the way. And you see that. But I'm ready for that to be filled back in to where we have that excitement. And you say, well, how are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? I want you to know God's still pouring the seed out. He's on the lost and the saved, both of them. He's doing it. But I'm going to tell you what, if we don't do something with the ground, it will never be received. And I want you to listen to this one right here. We talked about the way the heart does, but listen to this. It says, fallow up your heart. God can't do that. Only you can do that. Only you can do that. And that's where I was going to put that picture up there. Do we have time to do that? I'm going to do it real quick if you'll put that up there. See that man and those two mules? When I married Janice, when I went to go ask her daddy if I could marry her, that's what the scene was that I saw. Not that one, but one just like that. Her daddy weighed about 87 pounds. Little tiny guy, and he plowed with a mule named Dolly. And I went down there to dig potatoes with him one day to ask him if I could marry Janice. And I dug probably two pickup trucks full of potatoes waiting for the opportunity to come by. And he was plowing with a mule. And I finally, he took a break just for a second. When he did, I said, Mr. Alton, I said, I didn't come down here to dig taters. I said, I came down here to marry your daughter. Can I marry? And he said, go see your mama. Oh, man. All these taters I dug, and now I still got to go to the head of the thing, you know. But nevertheless, it takes work to fallow up ground. That guy's got two mules. My pa-in-law used to have one named Dolly, and it would plow as much as those two right there. That was a predecessor to a tractor. Most of you don't know what those are. But that thing right there has got on the rear end of it, it passes gas once in a while. It's hard to plow with. Am I right, Mr. Workman? And it's hard to get the plow in the ground, and it's hard to do. But if you don't fallow up the ground, the seed will never go down and take root and come up again. And we got to come to that place in our lives and do this. Listen to this out of Hosea 10. It says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up, you fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on them. God wants to come and rain righteousness on us. But until we come to that place and break up the hardness in our heart, get out the deceit, get out the bitterness, get out the murmuring, get out all of those things and say, Lord, I'm ready for You to take me. It'll never happen. And I want you to stand to your feet. I'd like for somebody to come play the keyboard or something here. And I don't want you to even think about this, but if this message has touched you anywhere, I want you to get up and come on down to the front. Come on. Don't even wait for nothing else. Just come. We want to pray with you. We want to agree with you that God is going to touch you and change you. If you're here today and you've never known Jesus Christ, you've never accepted Him into your life, this is your day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. When you hear that seed come and touch your heart, you need to make a move on that thing. And I want you to come today. I want you to come forward. You're not joining the church. You're just coming to join Christ. So come on. Come on. I mean, this altar call ought to be for every person in this building. If we are serious about doing the things that God wants us to do, we ought to make a move on this, and we ought to go and say, God, do that. God, break up the fallowness and fallow the heart, my heart, that I will let the seed that You send come and take root in my life, that I will grow deeper in You in every part of my life. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Lord, I've delivered my soul today, Lord God. I've delivered this word. Lord, it's Yours now, Lord God. You're the one that sows the seed. The seed, Lord God, that falls upon the hearts of the people today, Lord God. Let it begin to draw them by Your Spirit, Lord God. That feeling that they have on the inside, Lord God, let them know that that's You, Lord God, pricking their heart and bringing them to a place, Lord God, that they would know You in Your fullness, Lord. Father, touch them today, Lord, in Jesus' name. I want y'all to extend your hands up here to all of these that are to be prayed for right now. And if you're here and you want to be saved, you want to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to come forward right over here on this left-hand side right here, and I want to meet with you. We'll not embarrass you. We'll not do any of that. We're going to pray with you. Thank You, Lord. 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 Father, we thank You for these that have come forward this morning, Lord God. We ask that You touch them, Lord God, that You would honor their prayer, Lord, that they want to walk deeper with You, Lord God. They want to walk, Lord God, with sight they've never seen and ears that they've never heard, Lord God, because You have great and mighty things for them, Lord. And we ask Your blessings on them, Lord, that You would use them in the days to come, Lord. We give You glory. We give You honor, Lord God, for honoring these, Lord God, that have come forth, Lord God, to see a work done in their lives.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. God, just close your eyes a little bit, would you? You need the Lord you need the Lord to help you this morning. Then you need to break up your hard ground. Kenny told a story this morning about he plowed one time a field, and his daddy came out and said, tomorrow you got to do it again because you didn't plow deep enough. And Corey Ten Boom said that some things that you keep doing over and over again, she says you need to go deeper in repentance. You know what that means. You need to go deeper in repentance. You need to go deeper. You need to plow deeper. Break up the ground deep in your heart. So, Lord, this morning we don't pray for shallow works. We pray for a deep work in our hearts. We pray not just to deal with the fruit, but the root. Come, Lord, put the axe to the root today. Come deep within our hearts, oh God. Do a work, Lord, that we can come and we can see the word, see the fruit of God just begin to be evident in our lives. That Your word would come and it would produce and it would bring forth and it would bring a great crop. How we thank You this morning. Lord, we pray for those, especially right now, that's being saved this morning. First time. Come on, somebody. Let's pray for them. Father, we thank You right now for breaking every bondage. We thank You, Lord, for cutting cords. Thank You for translating them from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Thank You, Lord, for changing their whole world, changing their life, changing them around, Father. We thank You right now, Lord. Lord, it be just a, an emotional thing. Let it be, Lord, a deep spiritual thing. Holy Spirit, would you come and show them Jesus? Would you reveal it? Make it real, Father, in every way. We thank you for the power of the Word of God and the power, Lord, to change a life. And we believe that with all our hearts. Come on, everybody. Give the Lord a great clap offering. Now, would you do it? Come on. Lift your hands. Come on, pray this.
To give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts.
Lift your hands, come on.
Let us not lift our souls to another.
Sing it one more time.
Oh, give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Yes, Lord.
Now, Father, we thank you today. And we tell you that we hear and we'll obey. And Lord, we thank you. I pray for the son. I pray for the son that said no and then later repented and said, I'll go. I pray for that one, Lord. I thank you for those, calling those into the work, calling them into the harvest, calling them into that. I pray for them this morning that you'll do the work. And we give you all the praise. Everybody said amen today. Can you give him one more good clap offering? Would you do that?